بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. I wanted to share with you just a beautiful hadith that is found in the book of Imam Tirmidhi, Al-Shamail Tirmidhi, Al-Shamail Muhammadiyya. It's the story of storytelling of Sayyidina Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the objective of going over this story is just to understand how the Prophet ﷺ would understand the fitra and the psychology of human beings, specifically here of women, and how he would narrate that, and how he would talk about things to make people understand. Why is this hadith reported? Someone might say, why is it in the chapter? Why is it in the book of Imam Tirmidhi? So let us hear this beautiful hadith. It's quite long, actually. And it is narrated by, it's called Hadith Ummi Zara. Okay? And this is the second hadith in the chapter of the stories of the Prophet ﷺ. Right? And it's narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha. We see again the contribution of Aisha radiallahu anha. And in the previous hadith also is about Aisha. And she narrates of the story of what's called the Khurafa, or the proverbs that they used to use. They used to use the story of Khurafa as proverbs, sorry. And anyway, I'm not going to get into the details, but there are quite a few scholars who spoke about this. There's a hadith in the hadith of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, Sahih Bukhari, and others. Imam Suyuti mentions anyway, there's scholars have talked about this and these incidents dealing with stories of old and proverbs of the Arabs. Now, it says, Aisha radiallahu anha reports, and I want you to pay attention, women too, and the men. Once 11 women, okay, assembled and made an agreement that each one of them would describe the true state of their husbands without hiding any fact. Does this happen, brothers and sisters? Yes, it does. Till today, women get together and they complain about their husbands. My husband's like this, my husband like that. And this is the Prophet ﷺ, you know, 14 centuries ago, talking about this. And of course, this incident took a long time ago, even before that, right? Because it is from the old stories of the Arabs. The names of the 11 women are not confirmed in the Sahih Hadith, although the names of a few are mentioned in a few narrations. So leave that. These women were from Yemen or Hijaz. There's the disagreement, anyway, about their names, so it's not an issue. Okay, the first woman said, my husband is like the meat of a useless camel. Okay, look at that. In Arabic, it's even more funny. But anyway, as if he is a piece of meat that has no life left in it, okay? So he's got no strength, okay? So like the meat of the camel that is generally not preferred. Anyway. And the meat also put on top of a mountain, which is difficult to climb. The road to the top is not easy, so that it may be possible to climb it, nor is the meat of much value. That because of it, one should separate it into 100 lots and carry it down. So we see they use a lot of poetry, a lot of difficult words in describing. But basically, she says, my husband is useless. He's got no strength. SubhanAllah, how many times women complain on this issue about their husbands. Okay, next. So, the commentary, Imam Tirmidhi says that, there's a commentary, sorry, of the scholars, that there's no benefit, materially or otherwise, okay? And besides that, he's proud, arrogant, and ill-mannered, right? He's such in such state that it's difficult to contact him. Okay, so basically that's the first complaint. Second complaint, if I do describe my husband, what can I describe about him? I have nothing to say about him. I fear if I begin to describe his faults, there will be no end to it. If I begin, I will have to mention all his inner and outer faults. So let's move on. Okay, the third woman says, my husband he says, basically, he's a very tall man. If I do a comment on anything, he'll immediately give talaq. Okay, so he's a strong man, he's a tall guy. And if I keep silent, I just hang around. So basically, he's fast to give divorce, okay? Don't we know all those guys, right? So she says, my husband is like strong guy, tough guy, tall guy. He just, if I say something, talak. If I keep silent, I'm just hanging around. Like, I'm not taking care of. Okay, that's the third woman. The fourth woman says, my husband is mild manner. Like knights of, like the knights of a certain place. Okay, he's not hot nor cold. Nor is there anything to fear of him, nor any displeasure. So this woman was like, hey, he's not hot, he's not cold. He's not like this, he's not like that. So he's mild. Okay, dull. Okay, it's nothing special. The fifth woman says, when my husband comes to the house, he becomes a cheetah. And when he goes out, he becomes a lion. Okay. He does not care to investigate what happens in the house. Okay, that's an interesting the interesting commentary. It's said that the name of this woman is Qabsah. The ulama differed whether she praised her husband or criticized him. Okay, both meanings can be derived from that, right? So Allah knows best, but this woman was like that. The sixth woman says, when my husband eats, he eats everything. When he drinks, he does not leave a thing. When he sleeps in his own sheet. He does not even touch me so that he can know the disturbance in my mind. SubhanAllah. So she's complaining about intimacy. He sleeps by himself and he doesn't care to understand what's in her mind. No communication, no understanding. So here we learn not only about the female psychology and their complaints, but kind of what the women used to complain about till today. SubhanAllah, you know, these things sometimes don't change. The seventh woman says, my husband is impotent and unmanly. Look at that. Boom. You know, when you think like people, I don't know, like we need to understand hadith, man. We need to understand Islam. We're so far away. Anyway, he says, my husband is impotent and unmanly. So this is, yeah, I mean, women complain about that. He is such a deuce that he cannot even speak. He's a douche. Whatever sickness a person has in this world, he possesses it. His manners are such that he may break my head or injure my body or do both. So he's an abuser. So he's impotent, he's unmanly, he's an abuser. He would hurt her. SubhanAllah. And I don't know, you hear from this commentary, kind of like, I think she's exaggerating, obviously, which leads us to question whether they're saying the truth or not. Because can a person really possess all the sicknesses in the world? All right. The eighth woman says, my husband is soft like a rabbit when I touch him. His smell is like the fragrance of saffron. So this one was quite positive, mashallah. She's like, but rabbit, I don't know. He's just soft, okay? So I don't know if it's... they said that her name is Nashira bint Aus, and her praise means he has a soft nature. He's not harsh or ill-mannered. Both pleasure of the body and soul are found in him. He's got a tender body, which makes me want to embrace him, or he has a soft nature. So he's good. He smells good too, right? So this one is kind of like, you know, talking nice about him. In some narrations, though, it says that I dominate him and he dominates all other people. My domination is not due to his humbleness because he dominates other. My domination is because of love or the politeness in him. SubhanAllah. So he's one of those guys who's soft with his wife and his wife is leading. Okay. But he says that he's not, like, he just allows that to happen because he can dominate other people. The ninth woman says, my husband is of high status, generous, hospitable, owner of a high dwelling. He has a lot of ashes. Not sure what that means. He is tall built. His home is near the majlis and the house council. Okay, so that is one thing. So she praised him. My husband is a Malik, the tenth woman says. And what can I describe about Malik? He's more generous than all that you've praised. He is more praiseworthy than all praises I may shower him. So now we see towards the 10th woman that now they are saying good things. So, you know, 7, 8 of them said bad things about their husbands. Now it's getting to something cute, right? From the rabbit one. I don't know, the rabbit one I'm kind of split over, but if your wife describes you as a rabbit, guys, would you feel happy? Nice that he smells good and he's cuddly and whatnot. But I don't want to be described as a rabbit. Anyway, so he's more generous. He owns many herds of camels and they're kept near his house. They're, you know, whatever. When the camels, they're sure that they... Okay, so that's pretty much it. Nothing else. And now the 11th woman is Zara. Said, my husband was Abu Zara. And how can I praise Abu Zara? He made my ears bow with jewelry. So he was very, you know, very, very giving. He made my sides by feeding full of fat. We just spoke about curves in one of the previous videos, okay? He kept me so happy and content that due to self-admiration and haughtiness, I thought I was virtuous. He found me from such a poor home that lived with hardship, owning only a few goats from a living. From there, he brought me into such a prosperous family who owned horses, camels, oxen, and other stuff, okay? Besides all this, he was so good and he did not criticize me, scold me for anything. I slept till late in the morning and no one was allowed to wake me up. SubhanAllah, what a good husband, huh? Don't get wrong ideas from here, brothers. This is not Sharia, okay? Because the woman will be like, ha, see, pack. There you go, right? That's what we have to do. No. Okay, food was abundant. And after filling myself, I just left it and never finished. The mother of Abu Zara, mother-in-law, in what manner can I praise her? Her huge utensils were always full. Her house was very spacious. She was rich. By the vastness of the house, it is meant many visitors were entertained. The son of Abu Zara is in what manner can I praise? And he was a light upon light. He was so thin and shiny, skinny, and sleeping part of his body, his ribs. Anyway, he was very, very, very skinny. It's a lot. The daughter of Abu Zara, this hadith is long. How can she be praised? She obeys her mother and father. She is fat and healthy and a jealousy for the second wife. Okay? So the second wife feels jealous on her excellence. Okay? So he was in polygyny. He was a polygynous man. Among the Arabs, it is desirable that a man be thin and tall and a woman fat and healthy. All right. Bismillah, mashallah. Again, sisters, don't get ideas here. But I see, I can just eat. How can I praise the slave girl of Abu Zara? So he had the slave girl. She never gossiped about our house affair to anyone. She did not even use foodstuff without permission. She did not let the house home become dirty or untidy, but kept it clean. One morning, while the utensils of milk were being churned, Abu Zara went out of his house. He found a woman with two cheetah-like children playing with pomegranates. He loved her so much. So he went out of the house and he saw a strange woman with two kids. He loved her so much that he divorced me and married her. I was divorced because she would become heart sore. And by divorcing me, the new wife would have greater regard for him. In one narration, it is mentioned that he married her. He then divorced me. Subsequently, I married another chief and noble man who was a prince and a soldier. He showered me with many gifts. So this woman's been divorced. Now she's talking. It's from her perspective. She was divorced. And, you know, now someone else picked her up. Look at that. You know, it's not the end of life, not the end of the world. Okay, the guy saw another beautiful woman. He liked her. And another hadith, it was another description. Okay, we're not going to go into all those details, but it's interesting that the Prophet will talk about those things. Again, you know, many people out of, I don't know, self-righteousness would not agree. Oh my God, how can you say this? I've already had comments about this stuff anyway. But we see that the woman moved on. She moved on, married a prince and a soldier. Look how she describes him. He showered me with many gifts. And from each type of animal, cow, goat, this and that, he presented me with a pair and said to me, eat as much as you want for yourself and send to your parents. So he's a very good man. If I add up all his good qualities, then too, he will not excel the little thing that Abu Zara bestowed upon me. So Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anh says, after Sayyidina Rasulullah completed the story, he said to me, I am also to you as Abu Zara had been to Zara. Here we're talking about that this woman praised her husband so much that even when she married a soldier and a prince, could not compare to Abu Zara. Okay? He just couldn't. So here, in another hadith stated, Sayyidina Rasulullah thereafter said, I will not divorce you. It has been mentioned at Tabarani that Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha replied, O Messenger of Allah, what truth is there about Abu Zara? May my mother and father be sacrificed for you. You are much more to me than him. May Allah grant every Muslim husband and wife the following of the footsteps of Sayyidina Rasulullah on this subject, because this is the result of chastity. So, some of the ulama say that they're of the opinion that those women who criticized their husbands committed backbiting. And this was narrated in the assembly of the Prophet ﷺ, right? So anyway, so the beginning, the first women were talking bad about their husbands, then slowly became better. Then it came to Abu Zara. And we see here the Prophet ﷺ said, I am like that to you, right? He's a great man. But look at the example the Prophet ﷺ gave to Aisha radiallahu anha. He says, don't worry, I'm not going to divorce you. Right? This hadith brings up so much. You can learn, I could spend probably an hour talking about this when it comes to understanding males and females, understanding husbands and wives, understanding marriage, understanding what they've gone through. We live in a world where, like, if we don't get the Hollywood, Bollywood type of life, people get depressed. If there's divorce, people get down. SubhanAllah. Why did the Prophet ﷺ mention this? There's a great reason to show, to highlight what some women do and how they say, how they don't appreciate their husbands. Maybe there's truth, obviously, to what they said, because the Prophet ﷺ said, didn't say, comment that, oh, maybe they're wrong. But then the Prophet ﷺ focused on the last part, which says, I am like that. So this woman, even she got divorced, she never forgot what an amazing husband she had. And any man, there was no man that could come close to him, to his value. And that happens, sadly, a lot of women, if they do get divorced and they marry to another man, they will always remember that man that was just amazing. Even though someone will be amazing as well, in the end, there's only one. There's one that takes place, you know, first place. That's how it is in the psychology of a woman. As for men, even though if a man is in love with a woman, research shows in 2020, recent research, that men have a higher or more difficult time to get over relationships where they were in love with this woman. Let's say they were married and then they end up breaking up. They suffer more, subhanAllah, which is the opposite of, it's contrary to popular opinion. And women move on faster. But men, usually, when they do move on, you know, they might remember things, but women will come and go. They don't have that classification as much as women do. Women pay more attention to detail, more, not that men don't. And they will remember the smallest thing. And it is a blessing and a curse at the same time, because how many of women, they remarry or they move on with their lives, but subhanAllah, they can't let go. They will always remember, even when it comes to details. And, you know, they need to remember the guy who really took over their heart. And really, really, you know, they loved, right? No matter what, congrats. So guys, always remember, you know, you need to take place, first place, okay? You have to be the nicest if you want to win, you know, there. But women also need to remember that, you know, look at this hadith. I mean, there's just so much you can take away from that, because women sometimes backbite their husbands. They're so disrespectful, this, you know, they don't recognize the blessings. Like, I mean, do you think that guy has all the diseases of the world? She was exaggerating. But the Prophet ﷺ said, I am that. Why? Right? It's not that you have to, but see, the kindness of the Prophet ﷺ. Because again, men might be right now red pill, like, oh, simp, what a simp. Who, you know, he has to be like Abu Zara. The Prophet ﷺ, bro. That's why I get upset with guys who get into this red pill, you know, hard harshness. We are Muslims. So yes, the man has to be kind, nice, righteous, but also strong. But if he is Good, a good man. I don't think Abu Zarra was a weak man. He was, mashallah, a strong man. Then he will take place number one. So psychology of woman, she cannot forget place number one. Number one, right? The first spot. The right, the best guy. No matter what, if he moves, you know, with 10 different guys, that guy is going to be the man. The standard's been set. This is how the women are. And this gives you also an understanding into, and I'm not saying that, but when you marry a divorced woman, it's quite difficult to understand, because if she has a standard of a certain man, and especially if it's the first guy, if there's trauma and problems, then that's a negative issue, and she might have a hard time getting over that and accepting it. If it was a good marriage, but something happened and they ended up divorcing, then she's always going to remember that. And a lot of times this mistake is done where they remember, or they remind their new husbands, my husband used to do this. Or, you know, we used to do that. And that is not correct. Be careful, women. Now, I'm not saying that you should have married divorced women. You should. The Prophet ﷺ did, as you can see. Right? Most of the Prophet's wives were not virgin. It was Aisha was, I think, the only virgin. Right? So, yeah, I mean, look at that. SubhanAllah. But, correct me if I'm wrong. That's all I remember. SubhanAllah. May Allah forgive me. But, and look at the Prophet's confidence. As a man, he says, I am to you, ya Aisha, like this. And look, he's romantic. I mean, that's, you know, it's quite cool. And Aisha radiallahu anha acknowledges the love of the Prophet. And he says, don't worry, I'll not divorce you. Now, the Arabs, you know, were strong men before. And they used to be the leaders of the household. Now things have changed, of course. But here we understand the Prophet ﷺ, his leadership, his strength. We understand why he gives this example as well. There's a reason for the ummah to understand, for women to understand their psychology, for us to understand how men react, how men are criticized and put down by their wives sometimes, how women, when they get together, what they say and how they say it happens, brothers. It's called girl talk. My husband like this. SubhanAllah, how many times the women in my family have complained of meeting with other women having this kind. It's like on the first meeting, you don't even know this woman. You're not best friends. And they sit around, oh, you know, my husband is like this. And then I talked about crowd mentality and diffusion of responsibility the other day. And women just start doing it. Oh, my husband too. Oh, your husband too. My husband too. And then they start shooting, you know. Yeah, he's got every disease of the world. Oh, he's got like this. He's not a man. He's this, is that. Type. And move on. You don't like him. You talk like that about him. Move on. Woman is also allowed to put in divorce. I'm not encouraging that. It's kind of backbiting the husbands like that. Also, we learn from here that some men are harsh, some men are abusive, some men are weak, some men are bunnies, okay, rabbits, and some are leopards or jaguars or whatever you say, lions outside, right? SubhanAllah, there's a lot. I wish I could talk more about this, but it's, you know, it's long. But we can learn so much. So again, you'll find this on in the chapter of this of the Prophet's telling stories in Shamal al-Tirmidhi. I encourage you to look at the commentaries on this hadith. I believe you get a lot to understand about the female psychology, the male psychology, about relationships, about marriage, and about the humanity of the Prophet ﷺ in a community, our ummah, that we are so away from understanding the context and the human nature of the Prophet ﷺ. I believe our community has, to an extent, I don't want to say use the word failed, but we're far away from putting things in perspective and talking about the reality of his life, the things that people are worried or, you know, they consider taboo. And we're missing out a lot, I believe. Because, I mean, on the minbar, in the khutbahs, you keep hearing the same stories, the same reminders over and again. And it's important, no doubt. But I think we are missing out a lot, because this is wahi as well. This is a hadith. Hadith is wahi of the Prophet ﷺ. There are stories in everything. But we've selected a certain amount of things that we should talk about. And there's sometimes things that we are overlooking that could explain the current issues that we are facing as a Muslim community when it comes to relationships, to marriage, to divorce, to the female or male psychology, and so on. Okay? The Prophet did not choose 10 men or 11 men that they're complaining about their wives. He chose 11 women. Okay, he saw the story of 11 women. There's a reason for that. Guys don't get together. There must be exception, no doubt. Guys do not, and I end with this, get together and sit around and talk about their wives. No, we would punch each other in the face if anyone brings up anyone's wife or says something. I've never, even as a non-Muslims, sat around with 11 guys and talked about our girlfriends or our wives or our this. I'm talking about before Islam. In Islam, never sat around with 11 brothers or 5 brothers or 2 brothers or 3 brothers and talk about our wives and criticize them or say something like that. It's no-go land, bro. You get knocked out. It doesn't happen. We don't talk about, or astaghfirullah, sometimes women will talk about, oh, your husband is so nice, or you're so lucky, or you're so... We never say that. A man will never say that my wife is like this, or you're so lucky that you have this wife, or that. Never. Never, ever, ever. And I'm sure there's an exception, but to me, it never happened. I never said it about anyone. It's just the way men are. And it's just the way women are. But both of us have to control ourselves and protect each other and follow the deen. The fitrah is one thing. We have two. That's why Islam is about controlling that fitrah, managing that fitrah, inshallah. Okay, I hope you learned some lessons from this. I do advise you to read this hadith again carefully and try to understand the tafsir of it and take the lessons. Let's talk about real things that can help us in our communities, inshallah. This is just one example. May Allah bless you all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.